Well, we had, for two Sundays, we had the videos on the potter and the clay, Pastor Pat Lazovich, which actually is a potter. He made some things and gave us some things to think about. And I want to go back, I guess, to Jeremiah 18 this morning to read that portion first, which is what he started with. To me, the lesson as he presents it with the visual in front of you is very instructive. It was very interesting how much there was in just that making of the pottery on that wheel. So Jeremiah chapter 18, just starting in the first verse here. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And I was interested to think, you know, he mentioned this, that God said, go to the potter's house, and I will cause you to hear my words. And I stated this numerous times, but God often uses things in the natural world that we can see and understand to help us understand spiritual truths that sometimes are difficult to understand. And as we watched that that video, he showed us all the things that had to be done to make a pot on that wheel, and spoke to us about different things as he went along. And I thought it was very instructive, because as you saw those things happen, it was a visual that, if you're like me, I'm a fairly visual person. I like to see things. And so you see that and you go, oh, man, that's such a good lesson. I was talking to Jack yesterday about something that we heard and saw when we were up in Alaska. And he said, well, that's a really good lesson. I said, yeah, it really is. There's a really good lesson in that. Something in the natural, again, that they told us about and we saw. And so the Lord uses these things to speak to us. I had written down, like I said, several topics from this. To me, there were several things that were kind of preeminent as we went through that. There was so much in it. But one of them was that a lot of water is required. The clay without a lot of water is just a hard substance. And I know this because out where I live, the soil is clay. It's hard clay. Now, right now, that soil, I could go dig it up and I could, you know, play with it and mush it up and stuff. But if you give me about 4 days of hot, dry weather, it's a rock. It takes a pickaxe to get into it. That really that fast, it dries out really fast and becomes very hard. And eventually it becomes really hard and it cracks. You get these big cracks in the ground. So I understand a little bit about what he's talking about. And then the water comes along again, and those cracks all close up, and that all becomes kind of malleable again. Well, that was one of the big things, water. And if you paid attention to what he was doing as he was making a piece on the wheel, he was continually dipping his hand in that bucket of water. He had a sponge to absorb some water and get that water on that piece all the time. He never quit doing that, except to show us what happens when you don't do it, and then the pot tore because it was too dry. And the water is required, and the water speaks to us about God's word and his Holy Spirit working through that word in our lives. The second thing is the clay must be centered on the wheel, otherwise you can't make a pot. He said there's a lot of work to get that centered in the wheel, and he kind of showed a little bit of how that works. And if you don't center it, you can't make a pot. Nothing can be made from that. Patience. Now, as I watched that thing, he made several things that didn't go very far. But he eventually made an actual pot, and it took quite a bit of patience. And I'll admit that probably one of the reasons I would never take up pottery is because I ain't got that kind of patience. You got to go slow and easy and in, you know, certain amount of pressure, a certain amount of moving and so on. A lot of patience. And then there's trimming to be done. I don't know, I always like the one where he picks up the stick and he says, and now there's a sharp stick. And there's some trimming to be done. And then one of the things that I noticed is the potter leaves the impression of his hands on the pot. As he works, the impression of his fingers are always showing up on that clay. There's no work being done, he told us, without his hands. That's what causes the clay to move and to become something valuable. And then a theme that he kind of presented throughout is there's always hope. He showed us a chunk of clay that was just hard. But he assured us that if it got put in a bucket of water for a couple of days, that he would be able to work with it again. And so there's always hope for us. I know I've seen this before. God's people, they get away from the Lord and they feel like there's no hope for them anymore. They kind of give up. Well, God isn't one to give up. I really appreciate what Tom started with this morning, because not only is God a great potter, but he's also our Father. And he doesn't want to give up on us. Now, sometimes we give up on ourselves, and sometimes we give up on God. But there's always hope. If we come back to God and come back to his word, there's always hope. And so this morning, the topic I want to start with is the water. How important God's word is in our lives. Because it is through God's word that his Holy Spirit works in our lives. And some of God's people have thought that they could serve God and become something useful in God's hands without taking in the word. I don't need to spend a lot of time in the word. This comes partly, I think, from a misconception about ministry, which is, if your ministry isn't from the pulpit, well, you don't need the word then. That's for the person that ministers in the pulpit, right? I mean, my ministry is something else. Some people say, well, my ministry is not, you know, I don't give out the word, so I don't need to. None of us can have any kind of effective ministry of any sort. God can't make something useful out of us without the word, because the Holy Spirit takes the word and works in our lives. And it's necessary. It must be continual. I was very impressed with how little time it took from the time he quit putting water on that thing before it was damaged. It doesn't take very long in our lives if we get away from God's word before we become not pliable anymore and not useful. God can't mold us anymore. We need the word. It's so important. One of the things that he spoke about a lot, especially towards the end, was trusting the potter. And so that trust is faith. I want to go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter this morning. Is that where he was this morning? No, why did I think? Oh, it's because I had one up in Hebrews, didn't I? Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I was thinking, man, I saw Hebrews this morning. I think I'll just start in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The word that is preached, the word that we hear. You can go to church all your life and hear the word, but if you don't take it in with faith, it's just preaching. I knew a young man. He said his parents had taken him to church all his young life, but he didn't even have really a good concept of salvation. Now, I don't know, maybe they weren't preaching anything decent there, but, you know, as the word goes forth, I cannot make this word do anything for you. All I can do is give it forth as the Lord gives me. You have to take the word in, and it needs to be mixed with faith. Trust in our Heavenly Father, who cares about us and wants to work in our lives. Trusting in Him. I'm not going to turn and read this because I know it's a very familiar passage, but Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." To me, this is an interesting phenomenon because we need to trust the potter. But in order to trust him, we need to take in the word. And there's a continual thing going on there. And again, we kind of saw that a little bit as he worked on that clay and it began to get taller and thinner. You know, as God works in our lives, we need more and more faith. And that faith comes through God's word. You might say, well, I read God's word. I read through the Bible last year. There's a lot of, I don't discourage that, by the way. I actually do encourage that if you do that. But there's a lot of different things that will give you a how to read through the Bible in a year. It'll give you some passages to read to get through the Bible in a year. I know my wife uses a devotion that kind of does that, and it gives some passages in the Old Testament, a passage in the New Testament, a passage in the Psalm every day. And if you do that every day, you'll read through the Bible in a year. And I don't discourage it. I think it's important to read through God's Word. But if we read through God's Word once, and we say, well, I made it all the way through, I think I'm done. We're shorting ourselves because God's word is living. And every time we come to it, we find something new and something we need and something that increases our faith to trust our Father for what he is doing in our lives. As we come to times of difficulty in our lives. He spoke about that pressure that he puts on the clay. There's times of difficulties in our lives. When we come to God's word, we find comfort in God's word. And we also find strength as he increases our faith for that particular thing that he is doing. See, every time that he worked on the clay, every time he touched it, he got water because it was necessary. And every time God is touching our lives in some way, the water of God's word is necessary. I will turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. I can't remember if he read this or not. I think he might have, but again, it's always good, you know, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, by the way, sometimes saying, well, we all know that verse, so we don't need to look at that, which I just did earlier, didn't I? And you know, I understand sometimes we're trying to not look at every single verse because we maybe are lacking time, but this is a really probably well-known verse. But again, it's good for us to come back and to look at. Let our eyes, Erlene says this a lot, let our eyes fall upon it. So Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 12, I guess, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, the word has an effect. We can't bring anybody to Christ without the word of God. And we also can't continue growing in our Christian life without the word of God. It is so important. I will not turn to this one because he did read it, and again, I know you know, but in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So there's kind of that thought of the word being like water. God is using his word to sanctify his people. Erlene's been pretty clear about these things as she teaches us, but our salvation is eternal and unchangeable. But salvation isn't the end. There is an ongoing work in our lives. And that work is sanctification. And it's not just for a few months or a few years or a little while. It is an ongoing work in our lives as long as we're here. The work that God is doing in our lives, the work that potter is doing, that's a work of sanctification. And how is that done? With the water of the word. We can't keep going on. I appreciate the illustration as he did that and the pot that he was making it tore. And I appreciate that illustration because, again, it's visual, but you can see that and think about how our lives become torn sometimes when we get away from God's word. Whether we like it or not, or acknowledge it or not, we are creatures who have relatively short memories. Now, I know some people can remember stuff from way back, but it seems like the important stuff we often have short memories on. And you know, as we take in God's word, sometimes our memory's a little short. We take in the word and we go our way. And we need to be reminded. That's why we come back to this again and again. You've heard me talk about the importance of God's word many, many times. And some people might say, well, that's enough of that. How about if we get something more contemporary? Well, I can't think of anything more contemporary. The world has a drying effect on God's people. What I mean by that, I'm thinking about the clay. Right? We come in here and there's a refreshing, right? We're taking in the word and we're fellowshipping together, and there's a refreshing in our lives. And then we put this away for the rest of the week and go about our business for that week. The world has a drying effect in our lives. But we don't need to be dried out during the week. See, God's word is effective. I'm sure there are some who believe that their ministry is the only thing that people can, you know, that can help people. I know there's some like that out there. But it's pretty clear to me that while God, I hope that he uses this in some way, this is just one short piece of your week. Generally, we're here Sunday school generally lasts about a half an hour, maybe a little bit more sometimes. And then the after service, we might have 30 or 40 or so minutes of message. How many minutes are in a week? I don't know. I didn't do the calculation. I just thought about it. But there's a lot, isn't it? A lot of minutes in the week. This isn't enough to keep you all week. It's important. Don't get me wrong. This is important. And I am glad for those that take it serious and come to hear God's word. But God has been gracious to give us. Now, I have mine on this thing. There are books. I'm fully aware. And, you know, some days if this fails, I have to grab a book too. We have God's word in so many ways today. And you can go into God's word all by yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you. And he will. And he will. And if you don't during the week, your life will get dried out. It's not a good thing because God can't work when it's too dry. Or our lives get torn because it's too dry. How many times have we come into a situation in our lives, some difficulty, and because we were already in God's word, he was already ministering to us about that before we got there. I know that's happened many times in my life. And my wife will tell you how many times she was studying during the week and then something happened. And she realized that what the Lord had given her that week was something she needed for that moment in time. Let us not be wet on the weekends only. God works in our lives all week long. He's not just wanting to work on Sunday morning in our lives. And in fact, I find that a lot of the work that God is doing in my life is happening during the week. When I'm out there in my job and things are happening, and I'm having to deal with certain things, I find that's when God's working in my life. The word of God is so important. Colossians, the third chapter. I want to read this one. Definitely want to look at this one. The third chapter of Colossians. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, very familiar passage. I've read this many, many times. But I want to think about one particular aspect of this verse, and that is that word richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, you can think about what the word might mean to you, but the Greek word, it means copiously or abundantly. Copious is a word we don't use a lot in the English language nowadays, but it means a lot. The word abundantly, we kind of get that because we know that, but it means a lot. In other words, let it dwell in you copiously or abundantly. Again, I was impressed by how much water was continually used. He never seemed to be afraid that he was going to get too much water on the clay. I don't know if you noticed that or not. A couple of times he reached in with a sponge, put water in the clay, did almost nothing, and then reached in and did it again. There is no reason to be concerned that we're going to get too much of God's word. There are some things in life that you can probably get too much of, okay? But God's word is not one of them. There's no reason to be concerned that we're going to get too much of God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. And you know what happens when we do that? That's where the rest of the verse comes in. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We can encourage one another. We can speak the word one to another. And I appreciate that. I always remember, one of the things I always remember about Jack is you could talk to Jack and you were guaranteed to hear the word, because he would mention a verse, talk about something that the Lord was doing. And even at the very end, when his memory wasn't so good, he would still give you a verse. One thing he could remember for sure was the word of God. We should have the word abiding in us so abundantly that it's the one thing we can remember if we can't remember anything else. I remember Dad preaching one time, and he spoke about what we'll take with us on the other side. And Scripture's pretty clear that we're not taking anything with us. And he said the only thing that will go with us is the word that we have learned, that we have taken in. It's important. I'm going to run out of time if I don't get this. 1 Thessalonians. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. Oops. First Thessalonians, the first chapter. In verse 5 of this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." This verse has always stuck out to me a little bit, because it seems like one of those kind of contradictory kind of things, doesn't it? You receive the word in much affliction, and then he mentions the word joy right after that. Man that I work with, he sent me a little article he had found. It was not a Christian article. It was about happiness. Some study that had been done about happiness and how people find happiness. I take it back, it was a Christian article. The man was quoting a study that had been done. But he made a point that God's people should be very careful about trading joy for happiness. They're two different things. The world is seeking happiness. That's a feeling that they get when something goes the way they want it to go. And joy is a different thing, because it's inward. It's not a feeling. It is something that God works in us. So when he says they received the word in much affliction, he's talking about their physical situation they were in, the affliction that they were under when they received the word. We don't really understand that sometimes, how difficult it can be in places. Some of our brethren today are getting the word in much affliction. But he says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, that work that is being done in our lives through God's word. Yeah, there's some affliction there. There's some pressure. There's some difficulties. But knowing that the potter is working in us, there is a joy that that affliction can't overcome. We may not be super happy at that point in time when that affliction comes. But there's something in God's people. And I want to say this, I guess, about this family in Paraguay, because several things were sent to us, different testimonies, essentially, if you will, about their how they're reacting to all of this as a family and so on. And several of those things spoke about how their Christian faith is being shown. Because it's a very difficult time. We understand that. But they have a joy that those things can't overcome. There's sadness. There's grief. And that happens in our lives sometimes, right? There's sadness. There's grief. Something happens. We speak about a tragedy. But deep down inside, there's a joy that overcomes that. We can't have that joy if we don't take in God's word. The Holy Spirit is working that in our lives, but it's through God's word. The hope that we find in God's word puts within us a joy that can't be overcome by the affliction of this world. As I look around and as I, you know, occasionally read news articles and so on, I am very much aware of the condition of this world and the chaos that it's in. This young man at work that I work with, he reminds me often, and we remind each other, I guess, we live in a broken world. A world that is broken by sin. And we have to be reminded of that sometimes, because often I think we fall into the trap of thinking things can be fixed in some way. And we have to be careful about that. We live in a world that is broken by sin. And we can't fix that. And it brings tragedy. It brings sorrow. But God's word is working joy in us by His Holy Spirit. How important is God's word in our lives? How is He going to continue to work in our lives? How are we going to become overcomers? See, God wants us to become overcomers. There's a lot of things to overcome. Some of them just ourselves, but a lot of things to overcome. And how are we going to do that if it isn't for God's word? The world has nothing to offer in that realm. They can study happiness all they want, but they really don't have anything to offer. But God's word does. And His Holy Spirit works in our lives. There is a work that's going on in our lives. That work is going to be for His glory and His honor. Do we want that? And you don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read this. It just kind of came to my mind. I thought I should read it. But Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It says we are His workmanship. That's in verse 10. God is doing a work to make something that will glorify Him for all eternity. Is that what we want? I hope so. I see the pottery. We go to Silver Dollar City sometimes when we're in Branson, and there's a pottery place there where they make that stuff. And you go in there, and it's just so beautiful. So much beautiful pottery. And you look at that, and you just think, oh, how did they ever, you know, manage to get that to look so beautiful? Well, a lot of work, a lot of patience. You know, God is making something beautiful. Those things that we see here, they're just illustrations. And oftentimes those illustrations tend to fall apart because they're just of this world. But God is making something beautiful for his glory and for his honor to put on display throughout eternity. And we have the privilege of being that. And all it takes is yielding us to God's hands, a lot of water, a lot of God's word. It's very important in our lives as he works on the work that he is making from our lives. Any questions or comments this morning? I'm going to quit. Let's stand and be.